Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. We'll read verses 13 through 15 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And let's finish on verse 15 together. Ready? Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us here in this place. Lord, sometimes we don't realize the impact of a church like ours all over this world. Earlier this morning and even last night, all around this globe, people who this church influence and help and support. We're having church services. People later today on the other side of the world will be having services. Yet our church believes in fulfilling what you said in the Great Commission. Thank you that we get to be a part of that. Now fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, our minds, and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, the title of my sermon will seem just a bit odd. I think the simplicity of the sermon will unfold as I deliver it to you. I call the sermon this morning Satan's Christmas. Satan's Christmas. We read earlier from 2 Corinthians 11:14 where the Bible says Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You know, we truly do have a foe, and that foe is the devil, Satan, Lucifer. He is against us. We are in a spiritual war. That war is not put, it's not put aside during the holiday season. There's still a war that rages between good and evil, between God and Satan, between that which is right and that which is wrong. You know, I noticed something about our enemy, Satan. He is very shrewd. Satan is very shrewd. Anything of God's that Satan cannot beat, he develops an imposter in regard to it. If God has something and Satan can't beat it, Satan says, I will try to compete with it, or I will develop an imposter about it. Let me show you what I mean. You take, for instance, angels. God created angels. But as we read a moment ago, 2 Corinthians 11:14 says Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. In other words, God has true, decent, holy, good angels. But let me tell you something. Better watch out. Satan transforms himself into looking like one of God's angels. All the stuff that you see on TV and everything that's said about angels, you better watch out if you don't know what angels they're talking about. So what happens? Satan comes along and God creates angels, magnificent, loyal, holy, godly beings. And the devil says, I can't beat that. But what I'll do is I'll create imposters so that my imposters can lead people astray. My imposters, they'll look like an angel of light, but on the inside, they're dark, evil, misleading beings. Then you take the subject of salvation. Bible teaches that man must be saved. Man must be born again. Man is a sinner. Man needs a Savior. Well, Acts chapter 4, verse number 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, what name is it talking about? It's talking about the name Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, what happens? God said, you've got to be saved. And Satan said, well, I can't beat that. I can't beat this thing of Jesus. I can't beat it. So he says, I will then create an imposter, or I will come up with other types of salvation other than Jesus. And so the devil comes along, and he started the very moment mankind came on the face of the earth, and he starts trying to develop, rather than a salvation through the Savior Jesus, Satan tries to develop a salvation through man's works. What is it? Well, it's a replacement. It's an imposter. It's a competitor. But there's only one way to be saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he develops work salvation. Satan even comes along and says, you need to be saved. And there are some that think a man can save them. A priest may be able to resolve their sins, get rid of their sins. I've got news for you. Only the high priest, Jesus Christ, can get rid of your sins. But what happened? You see, Satan said, I see this thing called salvation. I see God's plan. I see the purity of his son, Jesus Christ, being the Savior. And Satan comes along and says, I've got to compete with that. I've got to develop an imposter. He's seen the angels of God. He said, I will develop imposter angels. Then baptism. God developed a technique of baptism. It's God's baptism. Matthew 3:16 says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. Here, God gave us the example of Jesus Christ being baptized. Now, Jesus was not a sinner. He didn't get baptized to get saved. Jesus got baptized out of obedience, but when he got baptized, he went down into the water and came up out of the water. That was God's technique of baptism. Jesus showed that by his own example. And the devil says, well, it's written right there in black and white. After you get saved, you're to get baptized. You're to go down into the water, come up out of the water. And the devil said, I must create imposters. I must create something to compete, something to replace. And so they came along and someone said, well, why don't we just sprinkle a little water on someone? And that is a part of the devil's way of trying to beat, if you can, or create an imposter type of a baptism. That's just like someone saying you can get saved by being baptized. That is not what the Bible teaches. Getting in the water never has saved anybody, never will save anybody. But the devil comes along and he says, I'm going to create something that will compete with or confuse people about God's original intent for baptism and God's original creation of angels and God's original plan of salvation. The devil always does that. He does that with so many things. You take, for instance, the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Here the Bible says there are false spirits. Now, you want to be careful. You ought to be careful when people say, well, I think the Spirit of God was with this, or the Spirit of God was with that. Let me tell you something. Anything that is not perfectly in line with the Word of God, the Spirit of God is not involved. You see, the Spirit of God and the Word of God always agree. You go somewhere and they're doing things that are not in unison with the Word of God, and they'd like to say, well, hey, the Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of God shows up where the Word of God is. And not everything that we call of the Spirit of God is of the right Spirit, because when God said, see, God has the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that's God's way. And God said, here's this thing called the Holy Spirit. And the devil comes along and says, I want to compete with that. I want to give an alternative. I want to make sure that I come up with an imposter. Not everything that the Spirit of God has given credit for is the Spirit of God responsible for. Let's go on. How about the prophets? The Bible says in Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. You see, there are true prophets and there are false prophets. And the devil said, look at those true prophets. How can I compete with that? I'll come up with some of my own. And through the centuries, there's been false prophet after false prophet after false prophet after false prophet. Muhammad's and Beer Belly Buddha. And you can go on and on and on with the number of false prophets. Why? Because the devil said, I will create an imposter. Imposter prophets, imposter spirits, imposter baptism, an imposter salvation, imposter angels. How about witnesses? The Bible says in Proverbs 21:28, a false witness shall perish. But the man that heareth speaketh constantly. Here it's talking about those that are witnesses of things, but they're false witnesses, not true witnesses. Hey, can I tell you, when it comes to witnessing or testifying of Jesus Christ, not everybody who talks about Jesus really even knows him. Don't you get this idea because somebody used the name God or used the name Jesus or talked about the Messiah, that don't get the idea that everybody talks about him knows him. Talking about him does not make you a part of the family of God. You had to come to the point where you realize you were a sinner and that sinners go to hell and that Jesus died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you, and you turn to him, ask him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart, and be your Savior. That's what makes you a part of the family of God. And there are all sorts of people that are talking about God that don't even really know God. They know of him, but they are not a part of his family. He's got all these people in Hollywood. And, hey, are they not coming out of the woodwork right now? Let's have our big Christmas special and all the Christmas songs and everything. Let me tell you, a bunch of those people don't even know God. And what's the devil doing? The devil comes along and he said, I can't beat the real thing. I'm going to come up with as many imposters as I can. Imposter witnesses, imposter prophets, imposter Holy Spirit, imposter baptism, imposter salvations, imposter angels. Hey, visions. Visions. The Bible says there are those that have false visions. Jeremiah 14:14 says, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you false visions. Huh. That means not everybody that says to you, well, I had a vision in the night. Not everybody that said they had a vision, did that vision come from God? Not from our God. Oral Roberts at one point said that he had a vision of a 100-foot tall Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. Grandma got ran over by a reindeer, and I guess both of them were into the same eggnog. Oh, but we people want to spout off, especially deeply spooky religious people, about all their visions. Can I tell you all something? I've been saved for a long time. I've preached over 20,000 sermons. I've seen well over 100,000 people saved in my lifetime. I've tried to establish some sort of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And just so you know, I think you're going to think I'm really unspiritual. I've never had a vision. And I spend hours a day with God. I'm talking about on my knees, on my face, with this book open. And I've never seen one of those weird visions. Watch out now. Awful religion. Everybody's looking for a new experience. Won't you try getting holy? That'd be a new experience. We don't need something new. We need to just get back to the old. Hey, dreams. Watch out now. The devil's good at this. Zechariah 10:2, it says, for the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and they have told false dreams. I tell you, I see all this stuff about dreams and visions and all. I'm wondering, where's mine? When I have dreams, it's always about a big tiger chasing me through the woods. And my cement are always, my feet are always stuck in cement. My wife will wake me up and say, honey, what's wrong? I said, the lion, the tiger is getting me. She said, no, it's just me. I said, well, same difference. And I can never run. You ever have one of those dreams where you can never, I cannot run.
I hate it when that happens. Well, listen, that televangelist said he had a dream. His dream will always include your money. You better watch out. I've been preaching for a long, long time, folks. I don't wake up every day with God leading me through dreams. When I have dreams and I think it has something to do with God, I always get to the Bible to make sure what I'm dreaming stacks up with the Word of God. Because I don't trust dreams. You can get dreams from eating anchovies. I don't think anybody's right with God that eats anchovies on their pizza. Pizza wasn't intended for dead fish to lay on top of. Dead fish lay on the back, not on your pizza. I'm going to preach the truth around here whether you like it or not. What's the devil do? The devil comes along and he adds to the possibilities of life imposters. He adds the imposter of his angels and the imposter of his salvation, the imposter of his style of baptism and the imposter of spirits and the imposter prophets and imposter witnesses and imposter visions and imposter dreams and imposter saviors. The Bible says in Matthew 24:24, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. Recently, we were making a mistake in our country by calling a politician the Messiah. Nothing is further from the truth. There was one Messiah. One Messiah, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings. He's the one that'll pull this whole world out of the mess that she's in. Hey, there are false apostles, the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. Not everybody that does a work in the name of God is true. People who say they work for Christ, often their work is for themselves. The Bible teaches there are false teachers. But it says in 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. People that teach you contrary to the Word of God, but they use God as a front. Where did they come from? They came from Lucifer, who he himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Then he leads his mighty band, his mighty army of imposters to lead people astray. You see, Satan is an evil imitator. Satan mimics God's good. Satan is a faker. Satan is a beguiler. Satan is a deceiver. Satan is a shyster. Satan is a shammer. Satan is a fraudster. He's a phony. He's a pretender. He's a counterfeiter. He's a forger. He's a flam artist. He's a hoaxer. He's a fabricator. He's a put-on pro. He's a swindler. I'm talking about the one that looks at what God has and he says, what I'm going to do, I can't beat it, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to create imposters to confuse people. And God is not the author of confusion, but I can tell you who is. It's Satan. It is Satan that is the author of confusion. Why? He's a swindler. He's a copycat. He's a pretender. He's a cheater. He's a trickster. He's a bluffer. He's a bamboozler. He's a duper. He's a hoodwinker. That's what Satan is. That's what Satan is. Satan takes the good of God and forges a satanic imposter. He's done that with our holidays. He'll take Easter, which is all about the resurrection, and he turns it into Bunny Week. He takes Sunday, which is all about the Lord. This day was created for one purpose. God. And he turns it into football, going to the beach and shopping. That's what Satan does. Thanksgiving used to be about giving thanks. Now they want to call it Turkey Day. They're phasing God out of his own holidays.
Right.
Labor Day. It's really in honor of labor. A lot of people look forward to getting drunk at the races. Did you know something? Did you know that the special day of a wedding, did you know it's really all about a relationship? Not all about a show, a dance, and some booze afterwards. It's all about a relationship. That's what marriage and a wedding is really all about. It's also become the case with Christmas. Satan wants us to celebrate Christmas. He didn't mind it. He'd really like for you to celebrate it his way. Why? He's a bamboozler. He's a fraud. He can't beat God's true plan, but he'll do what he can to create an imposter. Christmas is being transformed into Xmas. Do you know the government is now making it illegal to have any references to Christ during the Christmas season on their property? I'd like to ask the government where they got the money to buy that property. Since when is that their property? That's the property of the people. By the people. For the people. What right do they have to take our money and then tell us we can't put our manger scene on our property, brother? Better figure out. They're not in charge. We're in charge. They work for us. That makes me mad. They won't be asking me to pray for the Christmas dinner at the White House. It'd be one long prayer. That baby'd be laced. They don't, you know, they are making it illegal for manger scenes. They're making it illegal for Jesus and Jesus to be mentioned. Wait a minute. What is Christmas? What are we doing? How dare we? They want to remove all crosses from any property that the government claims is their own. How sad. Boy, they're going to have their hands full at Arlington Cemetery. Hey, I call the sermon Satan's Christmas. Because I'll guarantee you, God had a plan that his son's birth be exemplified, which I think God's pleased with that. I think there was some to-do around the birth of the Christ child. I mean, there were angels there. There was a star that shone in the night. There's a lot of miraculous things taking place that day, but Satan said, look at it. The Son of God's going to get all sorts of attention. I better get busy. See what I can do to come up with my imposter. Better see what I can do to beguile and deceive and mess up. Make a wrong alternative. What do we mean? Oh, hang on. That's the introduction. Let me say, number one, Satan's Christmas is not all about Santa Claus. Now, let's face it, folks. It's about Jesus. You say, well, I'm mad at you. I'll say this as kindly as I know how. You're a sucker. The truth of the matter is, what do you think this is really all about? I'm not mad at the fat man in the red suit that laughs funny. But I'm going to tell you something. He has no right to be forefront on our Savior's Day.
Yes, sir.
And slowly but surely, Satan's has kind of pushed Jesus out, hasn't he? Don't be shocked if they don't. Can I tell you something? Let me tell you something. You go to the most liberal community in the United States of America who will not let you put Jesus in the manger scene at the courthouse, but they will let you put Santa up down there.
Right.
Check and see. Did you know that this time is all about Mary and Joseph and a virgin? And there was no room in an inn. There were some wise men and the star of Bethlehem and Emmanuel, God being born, Jesus, God come in the flesh.
Yes.
Folks, can I recommend something? Let's keep Jesus as the hero of Christmas.
Yes.
Rudolph is not the hero of Christmas. Though Rudolph is special to me, yes, I would shoot Rudolph and we would eat Rudolph. I would do it legally. I would tag the deer. Frosty is okay with me. But I'll tell you something. He's not the hero of Christmas. Rudolph is not the hero of Christmas. Santa's not the hero of Christmas. Jesus is. Jesus is. And if we're not careful, folks, we'll talk about all those other things more than we do Jesus, and that doesn't seem fair. I think the Grinch did not steal Christmas. If I had to pick who of all the characters did it, Santa did. Santa stole it. You know, I don't mind a Christmas tree. I don't think a Christmas tree is sinful, but I'll tell you this, there's something more important than a Christmas tree. It's an old rugged cross. That's the tree that is most important at Christmas time. And so I say to you, watch out. Satan's a bamboozler. He'll take this thing at Christmas, and if we're not careful, he will totally steal it away from God. Just like all the other falsities, all the other imposters that Satan has created. Satan's Christmas, it's all about Santa Claus instead of Jesus. Satan's Christmas, number two, tends to be all about me instead of all about others. Proverbs 11:25 says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. When the Bible here is talking about the liberal soul, it's talking about our taking of what we have and giving it to others. When it talks about becoming fat, it's not talking about being physically fat. It means being prosperous spiritually and prosperous emotionally. Our culture has become one that's more and more stingy. More and more stingy. I think we have too much about me and my at Christmas time. It's really all about others. You know, you may walk by a Salvation Army bucket and not put money in, and that's up to you. I give, multiplied thousands and thousands of dollars to the cause of Christ through the local New Testament church. I do not feel under any obligation to give in the Salvation Army bucket, but I am going to tell you this. I am not rude to those people, and I thank God for every bucket and somebody out there trying to remind the American people, this is not all about you. There are people that still have needs. There are still hungry people. There are still people that'll do without. Hey, listen to me, please. I beg of you. Indeed, America is under some stress economically, but if we're not careful, we will draw into ourselves and we will become a bunch of stingy people, and that is not what Christianity is. That is not what Christianity is. We Satan's Christmas becomes a self-centered Christmas. Satan's Christmas becomes a me Christmas. Too much about me, too much about mine, too much about what I want, my feelings, my desires, my needs, what I want. My family will have a very difficult time ever buying me anything for Christmas because I don't make a list to give them. I'm not seeking to get anything from anybody. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. But I'm just not like that. Now, if you make a list and you give it away, I'm not against it. But let me tell you something. If you don't get what's on your list, get your eyes off yourself and realize your goal should not be to get what you want, but your goal ought to be to give somebody else what they want. Because Satan's Christmas is all about me. Me, me, the news, their warning. Homes are going to be burglarized at this time of the year more than ever. Isn't that sad? Do you think there's somebody there that is more interested in themselves than others? Who in their right mind would go and steal somebody else's Christmas presents? Well, they're not in their right mind. They've lost something about what? Even they don't even have to be saved. Where's their humanity? What about others? Some of you, let me recommend, you say, well, what can I do? Let me recommend this. I wish I could get this whole church to think this way. I wish, and I want you to be happy at Christmas, and I want you to be joyous at Christmas, and I want you to smile and laugh, but I do want to remind you, there will be people that will go through Christmas this year, and it'll be their first Christmas without their husband, because he has passed. Their first Christmas without their wife. The first Christmas without a son or a daughter, a mom or a dad. While we're all busy enjoying Christmas and we're all busy enjoying family, there are some that this time of the year is very difficult because family's not what they wish it would be. They get around the family, and there's misunderstanding, and there's hurt feelings, and there's the past, and all of it. And it gets a little tough, and say, let me say to all of us, while we're singing our Christmas carols, while we're eating our fruitcake,
crazy people. That's another thing that's out of hell. Fruitcake. I'll tell you what's good, those pumpkin rolls. Brother. Just, you know, get me one of those about 6-8 inches long, about 3 inches in diameter. You just put it in your mouth like a big old cigar and just... But fruitcake, that's of the devil! You take enough blood pressure medicine, you might start liking that stuff, but that's just a proof of your age. Let me tell you, there are those people who, while you or I will have an excellent dose of joy, there's some that are going to be very sad and brokenhearted. Let me say, we ought to be concerned about that. We ought to pray for them and do what we can to bring joy into their lives. Why? Satan's Christmas is usually about me, 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 me. Let's not let Satan take the real meaning of Christmas away from us. Let's not let Satan replace our hero Jesus with any cartoon character. Let's not let Satan replace... And so you know, you say, but I'll be happier if I take care of myself. No, you will not. You'll be sad if you take care of yourself. God created the Christian to find fulfillment in helping others, not helping themselves. I say to you, Satan's Christmas is all about getting instead of giving. Luke chapter 12, verse 33 and 34 says, sell that you have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. Here God's saying to us, you're going to be made happier by giving than getting. So not only has Satan corrupted our Christmas by making it all about self instead of about others, he has made it a time of getting instead of giving. That is Satan's way of corrupting our Christmas. Here the Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? Is your treasure in the things of God? Is your treasure in obedience to our God? Folks, giving is rewarding right now. But giving is also going to be very rewarding later on. As you give, God will reward you for being a giver and giving to other people. Again, don't let these hard economic times change you into a stingy person. You may not be able to give like you once gave, but you can still give. You know, Christmas, John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. That's just all there is to it. We need to continue to give and give for the right purposes and give for the right cause. You know, we even need to learn to give sacrificially. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The only one he had. That's sacrificial. That's sacrificial. Christmas is giving, but to the devil, it's getting, it's taking. Give. Give things. Give time. Give money. Give love. Give cheer. Give yourself. Give somebody a break. I also recommend this. I recommend that you make sure that you don't start robbing your God of that which is rightfully his financially. Make sure you tithe. You say, well, I'm laid off. Make sure you tithe on your unemployment. Make sure you tithe. That all that comes from God. Everything that we get comes from our God. Let's be faithful to him. You've heard me say this before, and I don't say it because I'm all panicked about the church or the church finances. I more have to panic about what you're going to do. I worry about you. God will take care of the church. I'm just sure of that. But I'm going to tell you something. The worst time in the world to be backing out financially on God is when you're going through a financial tough time. He is the banker's bank. I feel like I want to need a personal financial bailout. Let me tell you, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? It's God. It's God. It's God. Don't betray him. And remember, Satan's Christmas is all about getting. Give to me, give to me, give to me, give to me. But Jesus' Christmas is all about giving and giving and giving. Let me say fourthly, Satan's Christmas is all about getting drunk.
when God's Christmas is all about sobriety. I could go to verse after verse after verse in regard to liquor in the Bible. The Bible says we shouldn't even look upon the wine when it moveth in the cup. The Bible tells us that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I recently was overhearing a conversation of some religious people that said their church was having a Christmas party. They'd be serving liquor, but it would be off the property. So they thought that was spiritual. I thought that was stupid. They didn't ask. I didn't tell. I'm glad they didn't ask. They're glad they didn't ask too. Sometimes my shyness wears off and I become outspoken. Satan has swindled people. Christmas is the liquor industry's big money maker, and Satan's happy with that. Businesses, Christmas parties become the holiday happy hour in taverns. God's Son is not honored when you go out and booze it up in honor of His Son's birth. You will not see that the three wise men were soused at the manger scene. They were holy. The Bible says, the Bible tells us that wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The wise men weren't drunkards. Let's get drunk at Jesus' birthday party. We can rock a little bit, get a little high, get a little wild, all in honor of Jesus. Is that not what the world will do? And if you're a guest, yes, indeed, you could go to another church and not have to put up with this. But you're in my church right now. So I'm going to pluck your tail feathers while you're here. Let's all go get drunk and vomit up our Christmas cookies at Jesus' birthday party. Let's drink and drive to celebrate the Holy One's birth. Huh? Let's get in a fight. Let's beat our wife. Let's waste our money. Let's act like an idiot. For Jesus? We'll go on. You've had enough of that point. Number five. Santa's Christmas goal, or Satan's Christmas goal, is to get us out of church instead of into church. That's what Satan will do. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. When you see the manner of the world is less and less church, you and I should be saying more and more, not less. Less. People will miss, you know, people will miss church to go Christmas shopping. Now that doesn't make sense to me. You think about it. Are you truly celebrating? I'm for you going Christmas shopping. I'm not for my wife going Christmas shopping. But I'm for you going Christmas shopping. Oh, God got her yesterday. Mrs. Owens was out power shopping. Shopping all day. And I said, honey, when are you going to be home? She said, oh, about one. I called her and she said, I'd be about two. I called her. She said, it'd be about three. So when are you going to be home? She said, it'd be about four. So what are you getting, stuff? You know, Mrs. Owens loves America. She is trying to pull us out of this financial catastrophe all by herself. And thank God for her. I think she's going to do it. And then she got sick yesterday, and she's driving home. I called her. I said, honey, where are you at? She said, I'm on the third time for stopping the car, opening the door, and letting her loose. She said, you can see everywhere I've been, there's a trail. So I'm driving down my road, and there was. Hey, I'm driving the same path she'd driven an hour before, and I'm thinking, well, my wife's been here. No, my wife's been there. All the way home. But let me tell you something. Those that are out partying, boozing it up, and having a good old time, and they do it all in the name of Jesus. I think there's a problem there. We'll miss church to go Christmas shopping. I'm for you going Christmas shopping. We'll miss church to travel and go celebrate Christmas somewhere. We'll go to a business party at Christmas, at church time. Huh.
You know, there are people who would miss our church Christmas cantata and stay home and listen to Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. And I seem to have a problem with that. We'll get so busy with our out-of-town guests, we'll forget about Jesus. And I think you ought to entertain your guests, and I think you ought to celebrate Christmas, and I think you ought to go Christmas shopping. I think you ought to do all that. But never should it take the place of what truly Christmas is all about. Satan's Christmas goal is to get us out of church instead of in church. Satan's Christmas goal is all about getting drunk instead of sobriety. It's all about getting instead of giving. It's all about me instead of others. It's all about Santa and Rudolph and Frosty instead of Jesus. He has always been a deceiver. Yeah. Satan's Christmas is all about impurity rather than the virgin birth. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." You say, now, Brother Owens, what does that word virgin there mean? Well, it is not a cloaked term. It means that she had never had a sexual encounter with a man. She was pure, clean. You don't have to be ashamed of that. That's not a dirty word. That's a clean word. And I'm glad God put it in there, because God expected that Christmas be about purity. There's a gal that had saved herself, and God chose to use her to bring forth the Christ child. There's some purity there with a trusting husband. There's some purity there with a holy child. There's some purity there. And Christmas is all about purity. But I wonder how many will lose their purity at this time of the year. I wonder who at the drunken shop Christmas party wound up committing adultery because of what they subjected themselves to. I wonder how many young people will fornicate. I wonder how many people will go to the New Year's party and end up drunk and out of control, and their sexual desires will end up destroying their marriage or their future. Will lust run wild? Some man will try to buy a sexual liberty with a woman by giving her a very nice gift, and she will probably capitalize and have to pay off. That's not what Christmas is. Christmas is about purity. It's about purity. Let me be done. And number 7, Satan's Christmas will keep people's eyes off of salvation rather than promoting salvation. Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Savior. Jesus wasn't just a good guy. He's a Savior. He's the Savior. Folks, all of us are to tell others about Jesus Christ. We're all to let people know that there's a place called heaven and a place called hell. They will live somewhere eternally. They're going to go somewhere after they die. This time of the year is a salvation time of the year. This time of the year, hey, it's much easier to witness at this time of the year. You can bring Jesus up. And some of you need to go a little farther than say, isn't it a wonderful season, the birth of the Christ child? Maybe you ought to stop and tell them what it's all about. Let's not be cowards about it. Let's tell people about Jesus. There ought to be some soul winning going on. You know what somebody here ought to do? You ought to decide you're going to go out and tell someone how to be saved as a gift to Jesus. Do you know why he came? The Bible says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." This whole thing, the whole thing is about Jesus coming, trying to save people. Churches all around the nation, if they even have a soul winning program, won't even have it for a couple of weeks, all in honor of the Christ child. And Jesus said, wait, cancel it in July, but don't cancel your soul winning at Christmas. Not at Christmas. That's what it's all about. I came to be born. I came to live and die. Give Christ a gift. Tell somebody about Jesus. Get them saved. Bring someone to church. Let us tell them about Jesus. You'll notice even in our cantata, we talk about the Savior. And when we talk about the Savior, we mean it. Not the Savior, the entertainer. The Savior, the Savior. You see, if we're not careful, folks, this fella named Satan, he's an imitator. He's a faker. He's a beguiler, a deceiver, a shyster.
He's a fraudster, a phony, a pretender, a counterfeiter, a forger. He's a hoaxer, a fabricator, a swindler, a copycat, a pretender. If we're not careful, we'll get further and further away from the real thing. Because Satan's Christmas is all about all those cartoon, make-believe, made-up characters instead of Jesus. And Satan's Christmas is all about self instead of others. And Satan's Christmas is all about getting instead of giving. And Satan's Christmas becomes about drunkenness and making money off of liquor rather than sobriety. And Satan's Christmas turns into a miss church instead of being faithful to church. And it turns into impurity instead of purity. And it turns into a time of letting people die and go to hell and ignoring the whole season instead of getting people saved. Remember, we started out 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 14, where it says, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I enjoy Christmas. I was so pleased. Earlier today, one of our good men came to my office. He said, Preacher, he said, I want to do something for a needy family. I want to provide Christmas for them. I said, I can help you with that. Got a family that's in need. He and I talked about how we'd carry it out. Seeing just a little while later, he said, Hey, preacher, I got thinking. If you got another family that needs help, I'd be pleased to help another. Well, we hadn't even helped the first one yet. But he had so much fun just playing helping the first one. He's going to help another one. Let's keep Christ in Christmas. Really, that's what it's all about. Let's not lose sight of it. And it really doesn't matter to me what the government says. What the media says. You know, there may come a day when for you and I to truly celebrate Christmas, it'll have to be done underground. You may be put to death for it. I know other countries that have faced that. Well, look, you're not going to do it when the going gets tough if while we still have the liberty to celebrate it, you won't do it right. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I've got a gift for you. Jesus died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. You can't save yourself and you can't get yourself to heaven. God prepared a gift, His Son, to pay your way to heaven, all paid in full. And boy, once you get saved and you open the package, there are so many ongoing benefits from that point forward. It is amazing. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're not saved, I wish you'd get saved. What a great time to trust Christ. The season where, in our country,